So 35 states relaxing restrictions, although that varies a lot from state to state. And the problem I have, so many of these states, well, they all vary a lot. You have urban areas and rural areas, and then some states are so diverse, like your really large states, to have a state order just seems crazy. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. So some of the hot spots in the country, Michigan, hundreds of protesters descended on Michigan's state capitol yesterday, and the Republican-controlled legislature ramped up its efforts to bring the Democratic Governor Whitmer's emergency powers to an end, and they're talking about suing Governor Whitmer because they believe she's acting outside of constitutional rights there in Michigan.
And our gripe has been and continues to be that this is a serious suspension of constitutional rights that was based on the need to flatten the curve. Well, the curve is very, very flat, and now the need to suspend all of our constitutional rights and our businesses and ability to make a living seems to be just to prevent as many cases as possible. Well, I think we're all in favor of that, but should we be crushing the economy and people's health, not coincidentally, on that basis?
Another hot spot is California, where there's a protest planned for today. The group calling itself Reopen California, End the Lockdown. The California Highway Patrol in California last week announced no more permits, no more gathering, no more protests. Well, I don't know if you studied much about the First Amendment, but being able to protest your government is one of the most sacred rights we have in this country, period. And them saying you can't do that is crazy. Well, there's a protest going on today, and people are going to, I guess, drive around the Capitol, although some people are planning to march, and they're going to try to practice social distancing and whatnot. We thought we'd talk to somebody who's going to be involved in that. John Arabit joins us. He's a small business owner, coincidentally a retired California Highway Patrolman, 30 years as a commander. So maybe we'll ask him about that. John, welcome to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What message are you trying to send by protesting today at the state capitol?
Well, you know, I found myself in a very interesting position after having served 30 years with the California Highway Patrol. I'm now a small business owner up here in Placer and Nevada counties, and I've been hit very hard by our response to this pandemic, along with our 20 employees.
Have you been closed down this whole time, as in not getting any revenue?
We have been closed down since March 20th and have cut off all account billing and revenue sources. So, yes.
So what's your message to the governor or county officials or whomever? I mean, if you were to put it succinctly, what is it?
Well, my first message is, first of all, you know, we believe that coronavirus is a real thing, and our hearts go out to, you know, the families who have lost loved ones in the wake of this pandemic. You know, and I also, you know, after having served in government and been in these circles for many years, I also think the government and his team are doing what they believe to be in the best interest of Californians. But I emphasize the word believe, because believing you're doing the right thing doesn't always mean you are. There are three important points that are driving my decision to protest today. First of all, although well-intended, I believe the governor is missing the big picture. You know, and it's been said before, you know, the means cannot be worse than the ends, or in medical terms, the cure cannot be worse than the disease. The threat of this virus is going to pass very soon, and especially with the warmer weather here, it may have already been substantially diminished. But the impact of our continued lockdown will last for generations. Number two, I'm going to be out there calling Governor Newsom out for his hypocrisy. You know, he said it himself, one size does not fit all. You know, he nor do I want President Trump dictating from Washington, D.C., how California should handle our response to this pandemic. You know, it's a big country, and that authority rightfully lies with our governor, you know, to deal with our specific and unique situation.
Sure.
But California is also a big state, you know, the third largest in the nation. You know, I believe counties and municipalities should be given strongly suggested guidelines, but allowed to loosen or tighten those recommendations based on their actual situation.
Okay, we don't want to run out of time before you get to all your points. Okay. And your third point is?
Sure. The third point is, look, the main reason I'm going to be out there is I had the privilege of talking to a Holocaust survivor many years ago. And I don't bring this discussion up to equate her situation with ours or even insinuate that our governor's response to this is anything close to what happened in Germany at that point in history. But nevertheless, I can't help but recall Ava's words, Ava Braun. After emotionally describing the atrocities that she and her family suffered, she, you know, I asked her, I said, what's the lesson that we should take from your experience? And without missing a beat, she said, never be complacent when government appears to be eroding your personal freedoms.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a very insidious process. And if you're not careful, you know, you could lose your freedom. So
insidious is the perfect word for it, too.
Yeah, and it's an excellent point because emergency powers is such an old story. Oh, my gosh. This is an emergency. We just need to take these special powers briefly and temporarily. That's always the story. And listen, the people who do that are good at their jobs. They're good at convincing you it's an emergency and you should be scared and therefore we have grasped these powers. And listen, maybe you think it's legit. Maybe you think, okay, go ahead and take those powers. But you've got to dig in your heels hard and not get dragged an inch further and keep a firm grip on your freedoms and yank them right back the second it's possible. And I think, John, you'd join us in saying that's what needs to be happening right now.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, John Arabet, we thank you for your time and your standing up for constitutional rights and the rest of it. Go fight the good fight, huh?
Thank you.
You got it.
He's more charitable than I need to be about they're doing what they think is the right thing. That's not necessarily true. Governor Whitmer in Michigan or Governor Newsom in California might be doing what they think will make them more likely be a vice president or presidential candidate someday. That might be driving their decision more than any science whatsoever.
Yeah, it's possible. I feel a little more charitable. I think they're just misguided. I just think they're seduced by the power. They've become fixated on preventing cases to the exclusion of all other concerns, some of which are very important. I will tell you this, the loose blanket umbrella organization, I guess is the term, that's organizing a lot of this stuff around the country is absolutely painstakingly saying, all people are required to maintain CDC guidelines for prevention, follow best practices. We all know what those are, masks and staying apart. If you're sick or high risk, please stay home. No violence of any sort, no confrontation. Our message is simple. Be ladies and gentlemen out there. So it's good. It's good, solid stuff.
The Michigan legislature voted to give the House Speaker there in Michigan the authority to file a lawsuit against the governor. This is some unprecedented territory that they're getting into there, and it'll be interesting to see how this works out in the courts or whatnot. But, yeah, not everybody agrees on what the right thing to do is. I just misguided. How do you not think about these business owners and think, oh, my God, we can only make them stay shut if this is just the absolute worst-case scenario? We're not in the worst-case scenario anymore. We're clearly not.
Right, exactly. How has the primary motivation for all this changed so completely? And nobody has specifically addressed that as they continue to suspend sacred rights.
And it's part of what he got to at the end, which is watching, you know, things erode little by little. The government shutting down your business went from unthinkable to completely thinkable to it's happening. And now that it's happened, it's just in the realm of possibilities.
Right.
It's the Overton window. It's actually what actually happened to us. We can describe what that is later if you want to.
Armstrong and Getty.
So we got a lot of texts about a segment we did earlier today for a couple of different reasons that will become evident. One, a great point is made here, and then if you're of a certain bent, you'll recognize quickly the other point of conversation. But do you have the guy's name in front of you? I misplaced the...
Yeah, John...
Arabet,
that's right. Former CHP patrolman, retired now. He's now a small business person. He was taking part in the big protest at the state capital of California in Sacramento.
Yeah, and he was giving three reasons that he wanted to get involved, and a couple of the reasons were what you would expect, though well well explained.
Yep, beautifully put.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he got into his third reason.
I had the privilege of talking to a Holocaust survivor many years ago. I can't help but recall Ava's words, Ava Braun. Never be complacent when government appears to be eroding your personal freedoms.
That's pretty good.
It's a very insidious process, and if you're not careful, you know, you could lose your freedoms.
Insidious is the perfect word for it, too. So, yeah, just on that part of it, I often think people are like kind of being practically crackpots or a little overreactive about government taking away your rights, blah, 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 how quickly it can happen. But it is absolutely true. It happens little by little. And you think, well, it's a little bit, we're a country where we got a strong democracy. But the government has shut down businesses and now is threatening to fine people or arrest people who try to open them back up. That is unheard of.
Right.
In my lifetime. And now it's happening and a lot of people are accepting it. And it's insidious. Insidious is the perfect word for it. Now, the problem the reason we got so many texts about that was.
And I'll bet you caught it.
Well, if you're a World War II history fan, the fact that he had a Holocaust survivor friend with the same name as Hitler's girlfriend, soon to be wife, Eva Braun.
Just kind of caught the ear and was a bit of a distraction, honestly. Yeah.
Leave out the last name. Did she have a nickname? Did you call her by, hey, Missy?
If she happens to have the same name, she's of the World War II generation, and right. She has the same name as Hitler's wife.
I mean, Eva or Ava is an incredibly common name in Germany, and Braun is an incredibly common last name. That's fine.
It'd be like being named Amy Brown, right?
Yes.
I assume so.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Nonetheless, it was funny. Both Jack and I thought, wait a minute. This has been a great interview. Love this guy. Is he about to drop a Howard Stern's penis on us?
Yeah. I thought he's waiting to see if we just roll with it like a stupid Anderson Cooper or something like that
right.
During an interview where they do something like, and we got a whole bunch of texts. Did he just say Ava Braun is his neighbor? A 93-year-old, so she's the right age.
Well, obviously, if she's a Holocaust survivor, right.
It'd be like if I said, yeah, I got this buddy I lift weights with, this guy Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he says you should keep your feet at shoulder length apart. And Arnold says, wait a second, you're a weightlifting friend is named Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Why?
Different guy, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so people noticed that, did they?
My guitar instructor, Eric Clapton, he shows me.
He's talking about the frets and the.
Eric Clapton? No, he's like a 27-year-old guy, just lives next to me.
Great whale of a guitarist.
But you realize when you say Eric Clapton is your guitar instructor, people are going to think, what do you mean?
Hold on, before you go on, can we clear something up real quick?
You can't talk about Holocaust survivors, World War II era, Ava Braun. It's just.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, it's a wonderful story, and a powerful message, which I listened to and paid attention to and took seriously.
Because you're better than me.
Unlike the rest of it, clearly.
But I'll bet Ava Braun would say, do we have to get married in a bunker? I'll bet his friend Ava Braun would say, yeah, I didn't think when they took a little bit of power, a little bit more power, took away a few more rights, I didn't think it would end up where it ended up either. Because if you know the history, the most interesting history of Hitler and everything like that is what happens in the early 30s when he won a bunch of elections. This stuff got voted in.
Right. And the one thing I would point out as a guy who's studied this sort of thing my entire life is that the rationale for taking emergency powers is always brilliantly constructed. They don't wear, you know, the mask of good governance, and you can hear them chuckling evilly behind the scenes. No, they construct their arguments very, very well. And sometimes they're sincere that, look, we just need to keep you safe. This is temporary. This is very important. We're just trying to save lives here. That's always the rationale.